Does somebody here believe that your tomorrow is greater than your today? Does somebody believe that your tomorrow is greater than your today? If you believe that, come and shout a powerful hallelujah. Let's celebrate the City of Refuge Choir one more time. Let's celebrate them one more time. Hallelujah. So once again, Spirit of the Living God, we are asking that you would teach us your ways again today in the name of Jesus. You have said that there is a path that the fowl of the head does not know. There's a path that the beast of the field cannot find out. We are asking once again that, Lord, you by your Spirit will show us that path. You will show us the ancient paths. You will lead us in life eternal. We declare once again that this atmosphere is totally for you, and every negative and outside force is ever banished in the name of Jesus. Let your word find entrance into our spirits. Let it change and transform us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. So, I quickly want to share in this second service on a particular topic which I started 2 Sundays ago, which is on birthing the new. Birthing the new. So this is the part 2 of that teaching. Akpa keji ekoti akoni ose to koja onre ta se pari lose agbara Olorun. So I'll try to run as fast as I can so I can cover all the needs to be covered. So once again, we read Isaiah chapter 43, we'll read verse 18 and 19. Also again, we'll read Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. Are we there in our Bible? Are we open to Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19? Alright. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Said, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If somebody who happens to be a member of Higher Ground Baptist Church say 3 years ago, even though that's not too long, but for say 3 years ago, steps into church today, will the person step in as if nothing has happened in this place? I was just going through some of the pictures of the church before the dedication, and I just kept smiling because we have come a long way. We have come a long way. I still saw the walls of this place when they were not plastered. When the design of the church was the line of the blocks that were used to build a place. When such a person comes in here, for you it's already a normal. Your eyes is quite acquainted with the paintings and the tiles, and you are looking for the next new thing that should happen here. I can remember when some of you just stepped into church the first time we installed the light. Like, wow, stage is not looking much more beautiful. And we can try to picture how this place used to be without this banner. But now, you cannot imagine this altar without the banner. If you take it away for 1 or 2 weeks, the eyes will not balance. Not because it's bad as it were, but because something new, better than the previous, has come. So the Bible says in that verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth." Then he added a question. Said, "Shall you not know it?" What the Bible invariably is saying here is that it is impossible for new things to happen without it being noticed. So there are some specific things that God wants to do for you, that it will not just be the one that you will not notice. He wants to do the one that you will know. And not only you will know it, but even people around you will be able to acknowledge that God did something new for you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Shall you not know it? Then he proceeded and said, "I will make even a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." What is this implying? He's talking about two things that is seemingly impossible, not impossible, but very hard to do and will take a lot of resources. If you want to make a road in the wilderness, it will cost you a lot. Manpower, resources. For some people, it's an impossible task. Because in the wilderness, you are not only contending with the trees and the woods, you also be contending with the wild animals. But God is saying He will make a road in the wilderness. And the wilderness is not a bush. Don't compare it to, I know some, when I'm saying wilderness, some of you are having the picture of a bush in your mind. Wilderness is wilderness. I don't know how better to explain wilderness to you. But when he calls something a wilderness, it can be likened to, let's say, like the old city of Ogbomosho still being a bush. So wilderness is not just a small place full of trees and Wilderness is wilderness. So he said, even in what seemingly looks a place that it will take a lot of effort for things to come out, he said, "I will make a road in the wilderness." And the second part is that I will also cause rivers to be in the desert. Some of you have seen deserts before on TV. Have you, some of you, at least some of you want to go to Dubai? Right? The desert of Dubai, have you? So, you don't mean... You have seen some of probably your friends or people that they will go to Dubai, take pictures on the sand. You know that picture you used to like? On the sand. And they will not buy this their turban. I'm painting the picture of your desired honeymoon destination, have you? They put the turban on the head. They will not be riding desert bike. I can see the people and they're like, one day. Now, that's a desert. The way a desert is that you can pour a gallon of water on the soil of a desert now, and in the next 2 to 3 minutes, you may not find a trace, not even as though water was there. That's how much a desert can be. Which English should I use? It swallows, you can't even find water there. That's the thing. The world makes it a desert because it is dry. That's why it's a desert. So God is saying that even in the desert, I will make rivers. That means that a land that does not have the capacity
to see water and not drink it up. He will allow water flow there, and you will see the water there continuously. What God is trying to say is that what is seemingly impossible for us in this month, in the name of Jesus, is doing it for you in Jesus' name. That's number one. So, 2 weeks ago, we talked about two keys. I was able to touch two keys on how we can bring forth the new. Number one, can we do a record? What's number one? Number one, we said we have to forget the past. For you to enter into the new, forget the past. And number two, what was the point for number two? Have sight, the gift of sight. Ability to see beyond your immediate circumstances. Ability to see into the future what God has earmarked, what God has planned for you, the possibilities available to you. Not dictated by the economy, not dictated about the situations around you, not dictated by your background and your family members, but being dictated by the possibility of what God shows you and what He has the ability to bring about in your life by Himself. So, those two things are very important. And like I told us then, that the analogy that the Lord gave to me in bringing forth the new, some of my points will be related about planting and harvesting. So, I said that the forgetting the past is as a farmer who is preparing for the rain to come. He doesn't start clearing the land when the rain comes, even though some people do that. Most times, for farmers who live ready, they will start clearing the land before the rain comes, so that immediately the rain comes and is touching the ground, the process of germination begins. They don't want to waste any rain of water or any time in the planting season. That's how farmers who prepare ahead. That's how they do. So, as somebody who wants to bear the new, first you have to clear out the old garbage. And for those who are not here when I was doing the operating hour, I was saying that what was one of the instructions I gave us for the month that God said we should do for this month? Write them down here. Huh? Do what? Do giveaway. How many of you are already doing giveaway this month? You see, if you do it, if you don't do it, are you sabi? Are you sabi? Do. Some of you are trusting God. See, let me tell you. The person will still come back and give their testimony. Person came 2 weeks ago. Said, Pastor, I went and I obeyed what you did. Said, I had money left in my car. He gave me two properties. I had no food left. And then a woman came and knocked at my door and said, I don't have food. And she said she looked at it and said, all she had left was in the house was rice. And she took a large portion of the rice and gave it to the man, just left it what she would be able to eat, at least for today and probably for a few more days. And that was the last. And said she gave out a bulk of the rice. She said, not more than 5 minutes later, she received an alert, 30K, in the car. She said, okay, this one can be a fluke. She tried it again that same week after that money entered. She had spent on both of these and this. She said, she started, people that say, some people say, I need that. She said, she did it again, emptied the account again, and just sent me to people. She said, not more than 30 minutes later. See, if you like, not do. It's not on me. It's not on. I will tell you what God asked me to tell you. So some of you may be trusting God for something very, very specific, and God will say, this is the man. The word has come. Yours is to obey the word of God and do what He has said. And trust Him to do His own part. Trust Him to do His own part. God is saying that for us to make room for the new this month, you have to first do away with the old. Some of you may need to throw away some old clothes that are too old and you are not letting them go. Throw it away. Not give somebody. And He said, do give away with that one. That one is already old. What did I say should do? Throw it away. I don't want to mention some things in specific. But you know the things I will mention. You need to throw some of those things away. That's what you are thinking now. Throw it away. I know you are thinking it. Some of you know the things you need to throw away. so that the new ones will come. Abba, after 3 years, I didn't mention anything, did I? Wait, I only said 3 years. Does it resonate with you? You need to throw it away. Ah! Now one is longer than the other. The band has stretched. You are trying to use need one. Throw it away. Make way for the new one. Sorry, but I have to mention it. I'm not mentioning it in today's service. But do away with those old ones. The new needs to come. You may need to manage one for a long time. Whatever I'm mentioning that is resonating with you, just know, I don't know. It will help you. It may remain only one. Why are some of you laughing recklessly? You don't understand. Some of them understand. Don't worry. Some of them understand. It may remain only one. Throw the others away and just use that one and say, God, I'll trust you for a new set. Whatever it means to you. You don't, mommy still don't understand. Don't worry. The other people know what I'm talking about. You know? You get me, right? So ask her, she will tell you what it means. So, now that's on a lighter note. You can't be holding on to something old and be expecting that the new will come. The Bible says, what we read in Matthew chapter 5 last week now, that when the new and the old comes together, it says the old will tear the new, or they will both tear themselves, and the wine will be wasted away. Why? Because you are trying to mingle the old and the new. You have to first do away with the old so that the new can come in. So that the new can come in. I'm just laying the background for those who are not here 2 weeks ago. And then we talked about the gift of sight. How God begins to show people pictures about the future. How God needs to open your eyes for you to be able to see the extent of what He has prepared for you. I pray once again for you, your eyes will be opened. In the name of Jesus. Number 3. Get the seed. You must get the seed. Get the seed. The seed is number 3. You must get and plant the seed. That way. Get and plant the seed. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. Luke chapter 18 and verse 11. Just that verse 11 will be reading, but I'll tell us the whole context. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word. Church, are you following me? The seed is what? Are you there? Open your Bible. Look, it's not on the screen. Luke 8:11. Oh, I said 18. Sorry. 8:11. Sorry. Luke chapter 8. Apologies. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. So we'll all read it together for me to know that you have got it. Now Luke chapter 8 verse 11. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. That means that for whatever harvest you want to see in your life, there is a seed that is responsible for it to produce the harvest you are expecting. It's corn planting season. People are already eating corn, so it's not corn planting season. If you still plant, you still get it anyways. But we are in a season when corn is coming out, since yesterday. You can't expect that the farmer will go there and plant the seed of yam. And at the end of the day, he wants a stalk of corn to rise. Or somebody will go and say, okay, because beans and maize, they look alike a little. And then he plants corn. And he says, at the end of the planting season, I want to harvest maize. we must ensure that as we go on in the journey of life, and as you walk as a believer, you must find the seed that is responsible to bring your word to pass. If we check the seed bank of some of us, Tabawo, what is seed in Yoruba? Tabawo, irugbin tawon elomi ngbin. Abi tawon elomi ni. Ki se irugbin won ton nilo, ohun lo ngbin. Some are planting a seed that is contrary to what they want to see in their life. Every believer should have a seed bank. What do I mean by a seed bank? You should have a bank of scriptures about the certain things that you want to see happen in your life. You are in a financial situation and you want God to supply his riches to you. What scriptures do you have? The Bible says here, the seed is the word of God. Oro Olorun si ni irugbin na. Meaning that whatever you want to harvest as a believer, you must have the seed components for you to grow. Crying to God is not necessarily enough. God is particular about your tears. When you cry, he's sympathetic towards you. But what will guarantee your harvest? You must have it. So it's like somebody having a parcel of land. And he goes to the land and he says, you this land, grow. You can cry there to you tomorrow. Your tears will only bring tears. T-E-A-R-S. We only bring T-A-R-E-S. That is to say that your tears will water the ground, and even the one you did not plant will start coming out. Because what is responsible for growth or for producing fruit is the seed. So, you want to have long life. There are biblical components that you must plant for long life to be yours. Example, honor your father and your mother. Why? That your days may be what? So the Bible is telling us that in the moment you obey that biblical principle, you don't necessarily need to pray for long life. All you need to do is to obey the principle of planting the seed of honor to your parents. You are expecting financial breakthrough. What seed do you have? If I want to test this now, I've just gone to the congregation and asked three people randomly to give me their seed components for what they are trusting God for now. For what they are trusting God for now. Because you see, the seed is the word of God. It is with your mouth that you will plant the seed. Then the seed will begin to grow. But some of us, even yet, we don't even have seed at all. All we are just saying is, Olorun wa se, Olorun wa se, Olorun wa se. The question, kilo Olorun wa se. What exactly are you planting to get the harvest that you desire for that thing? What you must do is that you must go back into the Bible. Remember that Luke 8:11. It says the seed is the word of God. You will go back. God, what exactly is responsible for the harvest I am looking to get? Oluwa, kini irugbin ti o ye kin gbin lati le je lati le ko ikore ohun ti mo fe. So a farmer plants the seed of corn. What happens when the stalk comes out? You will see corn on the stalk. You never go there and find beans. Because there is a law, it's the book of Genesis chapter 11, I think, that there is a time for everything. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3 also says it. You want financial breakthrough. Philippians 4:19. And the Lord shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. You go to the book of Psalms. Even though the young lions suffer lack, but they shall not suffer You see, that is how you begin to plant your seed intentionally. God has spoken to us this year. That's our year of the overflow. But when we get to the overflow, God is saying that you need to recover. So you go to the book of Joel chapter 2, you read verse 18 and 19. God says that what? And I will restore to you all the years that the locust and the cankerworm has eaten. That is the scripture responsible for recovery and restoration. That's the scripture responsible for it. What is the scripture responsible for the thing you are trusting God for now that you are planting as a seed? Because that is why some people you just keep blaming God. Well, I've been praying. The question is, what have you been praying about? What have you been sowing as a seed so that you can get the desired harvest in your life? I'm daring you today to go back and look for at least 3 scripture verses on everything that you are trusting God for. You are trusting God for healing. Give me 3 scripture verses from the Bible that talks about your health. I will not allow any diseases of the Egyptians to come upon you. That's what the Bible says. By his stripes, I am healed. That's what the Bible says. He says, there is a balm in Gilead, and none among them shall be weak or feeble. That's a portion of the Bible that speaks about your health. That is what you will take to begin to plant as a seed for you to get the harvest of health. So you see, God has not left us to be guessing about how we ought to get the results in our life. The Bible is saying to us here, the seed is the word of God. And for every seed planted, unless something attacks it, it should always bring harvest. For some, if we read the whole context of that place, the disciples began to ask Jesus Christ, explain this parable to us, we don't understand it. Say there are some seed, they fall on the wayside. That means they didn't plant it, they just said it carelessly. What does it mean in today's context? That we say, you need money. So, how do you hope to get the money? God shall say, he will supply all my needs. None now. Have you? You said it casually, not intentionally planting the seed. I know that God has promised in his word that he will supply all my needs. He's in so place in the Bible, and I'm holding God to his word. Not careless planting. He said, for some, they are planted among thorns. Mean that some people will receive God's word, like you are hearing God's word in church today. That will not be a portion in the name of Jesus. Some will receive God's word, and by the time they get out, the Bible says that the cares of this world will begin to choke the word of God. Meaning that you come to church, pastor preach, you are excited, oh, God is going to do it for me. God will supply my needs. God will help me. And then by the time you get back home, your parents come and say, Amma, Kosovola say you. All the 2 weeks, Katoroba. I like, Oluwa. Say, yeah, you want it, Jemu Kubai. And then you begin to think thoughts against what you have received in church. The Bible says, and the thorns will begin to choke the word. The cares of this life will begin to choke the word. So the word will not be able to produce again. What must you do? You must guard your word, but you must be careful on which kind of seed. Then the Bible now says that what there is a particular seed, say that what they are planted on a fertile ground. And says some will bring 30-fold, some will bring 60-fold, some will bring 100-fold harvest. Why? They were planted in the right place with intention to get an harvest. Somebody say amen. Amen. You must get and plant the seed. There is nothing that you need that you can't find in the Bible. There's a particular story I like to share in this area. I shared one with them this morning, but I'll share a different one. There's this renowned man of God worldwide. His name is Dr. Bill Winston. And then one day, it was a particular conference that they were preaching. And while the person was preaching, the person just looked at and stopped and said, Dr. Bill Winston, your aeroplane is in... Was it first time or something like that? You shall mention particular story. I think your aeroplane is in Ecclesiastes. Yes, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse. Kinika. Say, aeroplane. Inside the Bible, say, Maybe it's the New International Release Version. But as long as he has read the Bible, aeroplane is not there. So he said what he did was to go back and begin to search the pages of the Bible. Lord, aeroplane. So he was reading. So when he got to the particular scripture, he heard, the birds of the air shall carry your voice. He said, ah, there's no aeroplane here now. There's no aeroplane. So he kept reading it over and over and over again. Until one day, as he was reading it, he said, the birds of the air shall carry your voice. Meaning that the Lord will provide him what looks like a bird, which is an aeroplane. And that aeroplane will be responsible for carrying him wherever he goes to go and preach the gospel of God. That is a yes, I've seen it. My aeroplane is now here. What did he do after that? He didn't just say, ah, thank God. And he went to sit down. He said, and I went back and I kept praying that scripture. I kept confessing the scripture. I kept praying it and confessing it until one day he came to church to preach in a particular crusade. And then while he was there, at the end of the service, a old woman showed up and she carried a bag in her hand. So she was walking after the service. Because you know, sometimes the custom is that after the service ends and they invite the revivalists, they will bring a gift. So people want to give the revivalist a gift. So as he was about to go, the woman, an old man, just carried a big bag like that. And then she was walking. And then she got to the front of the doctor, be waiting. And then he said, the Lord asked me to give this to you. I said, what is inside? Sister, take it. The Lord asked me to give it to you. He said, the woman, open it. So the man opened it. When he looked inside, what he saw inside that handbag is what they call the piston of an aeroplane. The same way you have your car that used to start you have a key that used to start a car. When they want to start an airplane, it's also what they call a piston. So that's what they use. So when he opened it, he saw the piston of an aeroplane there. Then he looked at him and said, God, do you want to be giving me this thing part by part? Somebody came and brought the piston of an aeroplane. Do you want to give me in parts? But when he saw that, he knew that God that told him from that scripture that the best of them will carry your voice, that was just a token to tell him that, see, you are on the right track. He says, not more than a few months later, somebody drove a jet to their city and took it to the airport and said, Dr. B. Winston, this is the jet that the Lord asked us to give to you. Where did this come from? It came from the seed that first came from the word of God. It was that seed that translated into the physical things that he needed. Like I told you guys before, everything is first spiritual before it manifests physically. Yes. It's first spiritual. It's in the book of Hebrews. The spiritual was first, then the physical. So what seed do you have today that is responsible to produce what you want? Don't, from today, you will not live as a careless believer. Some believers are quite funny. They blame God for everything except themselves. Everything. But they never ask them. I've always taught you here that when God gives you a word or he shows you something, he also gives you instructions to back it up on how to carry it out. He always gives you instructions. What is the instruction component of what God is asking you to do? That is what we hate, the process. Can you also make a say? Let me check it. Irugmu yako fili dagbadada carefully read the topo koja dinibe. Let me move forward so that I can cover it all today. Number four. What is the next component in bringing forth the new? Number four is intimacy. 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 Acts chapter 13, we're reading verse 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Do not forget, go back and get your seed component. You will be coming to pray on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Make sure you have your seed ready. When we begin to pray, begin to scatter those seeds with voraciousness. Scatter them so that your harvest can come. In fact, before that day, begin to scatter the seed. So that when we bring the prophetic grace to it, your harvest will come in a short time in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What am I trying to bring out from this verse here? Is the first line. Now. Sorry. As they ministered to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. As they spent time in God's presence. As they spent time looking at the face of the Lord. As they spent time enjoying being with God. They were not praying so that God will minister to them. They were ministering to God, and then God chose to minister to them too. You must enjoy being in the presence of God. Spend time in intimacy with Him. For some of you, this example may not be very, you may not be able to relate very well. But I know you understand it. I use the same analogy in the morning. When a couple gets married, they don't just hold hands together and say, Lord, we are now married. He said, where two or three come together, there shall be in their midst. The answer is in prayer, Lord, give us children. God, even though some people will have to pray, some people will pray that prayer. Or may need to pray that prayer because of some delays. But if they go to pray without doing what they need to do, the answer is still no children. Intimacy is responsible to inject the seed and to cause it to begin to sprout. That's the responsibility of intimacy. They were before God, and the Bible says they were ministering to God. It was out of that ministration that the Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the assignment I have called them to. We must learn to spend time with God. As God will manifest, lati ma wani waju oluwa, lati le ma gbadun, lati ma basoro. Lati ma wani waju re. You must enjoy being in the presence of God. In prayers. In worship, how does this relate to seed? When a seed, a farmer goes to the soil and he puts the seed into the ground. If I pick a seed of corn and I put it on this speaker here, and I come every day and I pour water on it, and I expose it to sunlight, will it grow? If I still take another seed and I go and plant it somewhere, I put it in the ground, I pour water on it. In the evening, I now go back there, I dig it again to go and check if it's growing. Because it's not growing, I cover it. I go back again the following morning, I come and open it and check again. Is it growing? I cover it. In the evening, I go, I open, I check. Is it growing? If I do that for 21 days consecutively, will it still grow? Why? The reason is because the seed is supposed to spend time with the soil. There is a work that the soil needs to do on the seed. The seed will need to die. Remove its old body, and then out of it will come out a new life. Some of us, the way we do is that we will show up in the presence of God one day. For 21 days, we will run away. Are we following me this morning? There must be a continuous intimacy with God for the seed to germinate and begin to grow. Your own part is to continue to spend time with God. God's own part is to make sure that the harvest comes out. Not the one that concerns you. Leave the one that concerns God to God. No matter how much you go back and check that seed, it will never grow. But leave the seed in the soil. The soil, bit by bit, will begin to eat away the body. We need to eat away the body. It will begin to die off. Then the life inside of the seed will not have opportunity to come out. That's how the work of intimacy works. That's how intimacy works. The Bible talks about a man called David. Bible calls him a man after God's heart. Some of the scriptures we mentioned today, or that we read a lot today, were a product of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Oh, yeah, finish it." Who wrote it? "Come and see my zeal for the Lord." Who wrote it? "As the deer," Psalm 42, "panted after the streams of living water, so does my soul panted after you, O God." Who wrote it? Do you now see why God calls him a man after his own heart? He was always hunting to be in the presence of God. He spent time with God. You can come to church on Sunday and receive the seed. If you don't take that seed back in the place of intimacy back with God, that seed may not produce anything for you. May not produce anything for you. You must get into the place of intimacy. Spend time with God. Labor with the word of God. We have seen where... How many of you have read chicken before? You have read chicken before? A few of us. At least, you did a Greek in school. Abi, if you didn't do it in SS, at least you did it in GSS class. At least. Abi, they will ask you, egg or chicken, which one came first? They will just pick your mind. At least you know that chicken used to lay egg. But why does chicken not lay chicken? I don't know the answer. Only God knows. But what am I trying to drive at? When the chicken lays egg, does the chicken say, "Okay, you, I've done my part, I've laid you. If you like, become chicken. If you like, don't become chicken. I've done my own part over your life. God be with you." And the chicken goes away. Is that the way it operates? This is what the chicken does. After the egg has been laid, the process is not over. Every day, the chicken will come and sit upon the egg and transfer it to the egg. Is it the day he sits on the egg that the egg cracks and brings out something new? He will keep doing that day in, day out. For how many days? Adam alone now. So day one, he may not see anything. In fact, the color may not change, but he will still come and sit down. Day two, he will come and sit down on the egg. Day three, he will come and sit down on the egg. What is happening is that he's transferring it from its abbey, or is he injecting something? He's coming to transfer it from its body to the egg. That it is what will make the egg grow in size. If one day, by day 10, the chicken comes and says, "You, this egg cannot break," then he uses his beak and then do, he wants to check what is inside to see if it is growing. That egg, you see, become chicken, ba? It will require patience To do it consistently every day. Day one, you may not see the results, but don't worry. Keep staying in intimacy. Day two, you may not see the results. Keep staying in intimacy. Day five, you may not see it. Day 10, day 20, you may not see it. But some people, you know what? Day 15, they abort the process to go and start over again from the beginning. And do you know that in the process of that thing, if the mother stops by day 15, and then comes back by day 20 to come and continue, I hope you know that egg will still not hatch. It is the consistency of doing it until the egg hatch that is when we cannot say mission accomplished. That's why you must remain in intimacy with God. Consistently. We are talking about bringing forth new things in your life. There is a process to bringing it forth. There's a process. You will keep waiting. You will keep waiting. You will keep waiting until the result of what you want to see happen, until it happens. The chicken may not know what is going on. And have you seen sometimes when the chicken sits on the egg, yes, the egg did not crack? Are there instances like that? Is the problem with the sitting? Is the problem with the sitting? Sometimes some eggs are just bad. Sometimes you can't even explain the reason why. Sometimes it is the seed that is bad. We can't explain why. We planted corn in our house. Put it in plenty rows like this. By the time it was time to grow, one grew here, one grew there, one grew there. Where is all the seed we planted? Only God knows. Is our land bad? I doubt it. Others are growing. Sometimes the problem is with the seed. So sometimes you are planting the wrong things in the right place. Or sometimes you are planting the right things in the wrong place. You must plant it right in the right place. Let's take one or two more and then we'll round it up. Number five, knowledge. I can't explain this knowledge too much because I dealt a lot with it this morning. If you're interested, you can go and listen to what I preached about this morning. Hello Tomorrow, the gift of sight for the first service. Very, very powerful. It will do a lot of good. But let me just read something for us here. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3. Verse 3 and 4 we are reading. It says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. You know, what was used in this scripture was, it's a building term. So let's relate everything together. Say, through wisdom, a house is built. Meaning that, okay, every of these walls you are seeing is wisdom. Say, by understanding, it is established. This floor, this foundation is understanding. But you see, if as when we are building this building, we just continue focusing on just raising all of these things. And today, we came to church. No microphone. No speaker. No television. No fan. No camera to record. No drum set. The house is magnificent. But I'm telling you, if we see, next week Sunday, let us not use mic. Say tomorrow, Sunday, just want to preach with the mouth. I'll be clapping with the hand, no keyboard, no anything. Just try next week Sunday, then do it again the next Sunday. Then do it again the next Sunday. Let's try for 1 month. What do you think the attendance will look like? Huh? Everywhere will still be full, have you? the result will be that some people begin to draw back. Not because the structure is not beautiful, but because there are some things that needs to be in the building that are not present there. The last verse says, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious. Are you following me? Knowledge helps you to fill the rooms of your life with the things that you need. So you can have a magnificent structure, and what is needed inside that structure is not available. It says by knowledge to produce it. Some of us are ignorant of the promises of God's word to us. I mean, I wish I could just do that sample now. Tell me, which scripture is responsible for somebody's breakthrough here? You'll be sure that some people don't know it. You are a business person. You want to break out into bumper sales. You want more people to buy your product. Can you show me what book on sales you have read that can help you to begin to sell the more? Show it to me. I'll show you a man that is serious and is ready to fill the rooms with precious things. You are into real estate. How many courses have you taken on the psychology of people buying land and how to close high-end customers? You are a content creator. How many YouTube videos have you watched? I'm just trying to contextualize it. That some people want great things to happen in their life. They never read the books written by great people. They never read it. How many want to become a billionaire? You see hands are up. How many of you have written the book written by Jack Ma? You may not find any hand. How many people here? Okay, let's even ask. You have read Rich Dad Poor Dad yet? Let me see your hands up. No, I'm just... Huh? I should have asked the first question first. How many of you want to become millionaires or billionaires? Now, they are scared to put that because they didn't reserve that for the other first question. But as simple and as small as the book Rich Dad Poor Dad is, that's like a foundational material for anybody that wants to do anything meaningful when it comes to money. Like, it's just like, you know, there are some questions, there are some books you just find. That's the way it is. You want to become, and you have not read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, and you say you want to have money. We have never started asking you to write the billionaire, to read the billionaire mindset. And a lot of books like that. How great men build great cities. The richest people in the world. CEOs under 30. These are books that people that really want to fill their rooms with treasures, they must read. The Bible says here that by knowledge, it is said by prayer, it is said by sowing seed. Say by knowledge, the rooms will be filled with treasures. What do you know, sir, that you want to produce the new thing for you that you need? The Bible is saying that not your seed will bring those things. He said, not your prayers will bring those things. He said, through knowledge. This is a universal principle. Whether you are Christian or not, if you obey this principle, one day those riches will come to you. They will come. So all this comparison of, if you are a Christian, why is Elon Musk the richest man in the world? It's inconsequential. They are obeying universal laws. Universal laws. You produce value, you get rewarded for value. Universal laws. Does not matter whether you are a Christian or you are a Muslim. Does God want you to be rich? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. But you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to do that. You have to only be a Christian to get wealth the God kind of way and use wealth the God kind of way. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with riches. What knowledge do you have that is responsible to bring precious things to your life now? What knowledge do you have? Things don't just happen by fluke, my brothers and my sisters. They don't just happen by fluke. Something is responsible. The only people that wake up, that sleep the previous day, and wake up in a new day being millionaires or billionaires are gamblers. That's a little, or maybe their parents died and then they pass over the wealth to them. And see, if they are not careful, that wealth will reduce back to their level. It will reduce back to their level. But if you have knowledge, I mean, I don't like to tell the story, but I like to tell the story. I know that. But how many of us know Diamond Bank? Have you heard the story of Diamond Bank? And how Access Bank acquired them? Diamond Bank was one of the prominent banks in Nigeria. Was handed over to a particular son in the family. And under the space of 5 years, that bank was reduced. What it took some parents years to build credibility, to build customer base, to build trust and infrastructures. In 5 years, that guy reduced to a standard, reduced to the point where Access Bank that started after it was able to come and acquire it. It was not a problem of money, it was a problem of knowledge and vision. So don't think that if 1 billion falls upon your lap today, you are already made. You can lose it. But you must know the principles that makes it grow and multiply. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious things. Young people, we need to go for more knowledge. We need to know more things. Research, read, develop yourself in your own area. You want to bring out something new. Your family, you have always known to be poor. You can bring something new and become the first millionaire, become the first billionaire in your family. Those things will come by what you know and how people reward your value. That's how riches come. That's how precious things come. Let me find somewhere to wrap up. I'll just mention the remaining two so that we close. Number 5, prayer. Prayer. Let's read this one. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8. I pray, I won't be able to do anything, but Isaiah 66 verse 8. It says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Say, for as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to our children. That labor there can be likened to a time of intense prayers. So, number 6 is the labor phase, the prayer phase. When after you have received the word of God, you take it back to God in prayer and you will keep praying it until you see the manifestation. Sometimes it may take time, but there are times when God can collapse 5 years and give it to you in 1 week. See, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. See, some things will not come out in your life to Bagbadura. And will come on the Bagbadura. They will only remain potential. They will never show. Prayers. I know it firsthand. This person you see on the pulpit wasn't always like this. Some things were just the Holy Ghost, too. I'm telling you. You may never see the version of yourself that need to materialize if you don't pray. If you don't pray. If you don't pray. This me? I won't even hold the microphone. Every one day I will show us a picture of when I was doing my Arab presentation. They snap me one day like that. You will see my face. I was looking to the ceiling. John chapter Kinikabaskinika. Ceiling in my own was I was too shy to be in front. If you want to finish me, be asking question and then say, Samson, what do you have to say? It's not like I don't know the answer. But the moment you call Samson, just as if it will just... I call for learning. That's the way it used for me. I was not the person that... I've been preaching for almost an hour now. That wasn't me. But when I went on a journey of prayer, a part of me I never knew existed began to show forth. That is the way it is. And after intimacy, you know, I say, now you are pregnant. Congratulations, ma. Now go to the labor room and go and push. Is that what happens? there will be a gestation period. And after you say, after 40 weeks, say, madam, it's time to give birth. You know, some people just swing and just say, well, it's time. Oh, yeah, push. Say, okay, and it'll be going up. That's the way it is to happen, Abi. Just. You don't just say, well, I'm okay now. Or just say, oh, yeah, you, calm down now. Shall we, it's 9 hours, calm down. So that's the way it is. You have endured what happened in 9 months, but that is not the end of the case. Have you heard about people who have stillbirth? Who the baby died in their stomach? May that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Some, because they lost strength to push, and before there was any intervention, the baby had died. Or because they had forceful labor or something, the baby died, or probably both of them died. I say, may that not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Whatever God has placed on the side of you, it will see the light of day. You will give birth to them in the name of Jesus. Labor, prayer, you will push. That's the acronym, pray until something happens. Elijah was there on the mountain. He took a betting position. The Bible says, and he put his face in between his knees. What do you think he was doing? He says, go back and go and check. When you see the cloud, come and tell me. The guy went first time, my master, nothing. He said, don't worry, go back again. He put his face between his knees again. What do you think he was doing? You think he was trying to check if the rock was strong? No, he was on top of the mountain. He put his knees in between his feet and he prayed again. The guy came back a second time. He said, nothing, sir. He said, don't worry, go again the third time. Some of us give up the first, the second, the third, the fourth. Fourth time, he said, go again. Fifth, go. Sixth, go again. Pray again, somebody here. Pray about it again. Don't give up. Your baby will come. Don't give up. Pray again. Don't give up. God is not slow to answer. He can answer your prayer. He can change your story. He can change your family. Go back again and pray. So by the seventh time, he went and he came back and said, my master, you said rain will come, sir. I've not seen the rain, no. He said, but see, I have seen the hand. He said, I've seen a cloud in the sky, just like the hand of a human being. He said, don't worry. What I have been looking for, I've seen it. Some of you just need to pray until one day you will receive a token, just a small portion of what you have been praying to God for. Know that your answer is already at the corner. Don't give up. Say, you have seen the cloud? Say, don't worry. Go and tell Ahab to saddle this on us and run. Says, there is going to be. At that point, it is already signed, sealed, and delivered. Because you have been able to push through in prayers for the new person, the new baby, the new business, the new idea to come back to life. Somebody is bringing forth something new this month. Somebody has been praying to God and you are asking God, what is the next thing I need to do to add to my line of business that will take me into the realm of millions? I'm telling you, this is somebody's thought, and I just said that impression. In this month, may the Holy Ghost put that thought in your mind. You will pray until something happens. You will push until something happens. You don't give up in prayer. Luke 18:1, and Jesus told them a parable that men ought to always pray and never to faint. He's saying never to faint because, you know, there are some times you will pray and you will not quickly receive your answer. He says even when you don't see, don't faint. Because if you persist in prayer, your answers will come. If you persist in prayers, your answers will come. Push! As soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. You are coming back with your testimonies. And the last one, number 6, is thanksgiving. You must always give thanks for the thing that is new that is coming. You can't overemphasize this. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Don't just approach God without adding thanksgiving. I know that you have not received the answers yet, but thank Him for the answers that you are going to receive. That's how men come back with results. That's how men come back with joy in their hearts. Some of you, enter prayer with strong faith, you will return back with strong faith. So what happened to you in the place of prayer? What happened to you there? You should come back rejoicing, knowing that the Bible says that what ask until your joy is full, that whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. It's a cause to give thanks to God. Because you see, God has already told you the answer from the beginning. That the moment you go on a journey of prayer, don't worry. If you keep praying, your answer will come. With that mindset, what must you do? Father, I thank you. I know that I'm not wasting time calling upon the Lord. Hey, waste time, bro. I'm not wasting time. You're not wasting time, my sister. Calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time. I'm not wasting time. Calling upon the I'm not wasting time. Sing it, I'm not wasting time. Oh, sing it until you are sure of it. I'm not wasting time. One more time. I'm not wasting time. Oh, I'm not wasting time. Lord, this we know with a very strong reassurance. When we pray, it's for somebody. When you call, for you are not alone. God is with you. Emmanuel, and when you pray, my brother, and when you call, but you are not alone, God is with us, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. When we pray, he answers us. And when we call, we are not alone. God is with us, Emmanuel. The Bible says, and when Shiloh came to the Lord that year, she cried to the Lord with the anguish of her heart. And it was thought as though she was drunk. But she told Eli, I pray with the anguish of my heart. I'm a woman of many sorrows. But she didn't give up on coming to Shiloh, because she knows that there is a God in Shiloh that answers prayers. The one who answers prayers. The one who answers prayers. We are gathering it together. The one who answers prayers. The one who answers prayers. The one who answers prayers. The name. Oh, the one who answers prayers. The one who answers prayers. The one who answers prayers is your name. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, I stretch forth my hand to your people today. I stretch forth my hand to them.
And I'm speaking based on the fact that you called me as a servant in this house. Some have come here with a anguish of heart, trusting and believing in Lord for one thing or the other, that something new will happen in their life. They are tired of the old. I'm asking that, Lord, let that process begin from today. For anybody here that your journey has been delayed, I hear for you and I speak to your life. Remarkable progress. Remarkable progress. You have stunted, you have waited for too long. The Bible is saying to you today, the Lord is saying to you today, make advancements in the name of Jesus. I declare, Eli said to Hannah, say, my daughter, cheer up. Say, the Lord will answer you. Bible says, and Hannah returned the following year with her child. I speak to somebody here today, in the name of Jesus, return back with your newborn. Physically, spiritually, financially, mentally, return with your newborns. You will bring them here for testimonies. In the name of Jesus. I hear for somebody, you will no longer be disappointed. I say again, you will no longer be disappointed. You will come back rejoicing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come and celebrate Jesus this morning.